is that the body of Christ is associated with the body because of the human analogy that exists there. We understand there's a lot of parts to our body, and every part has a specific function, has a specific need. I like what Paul said. He said, listen, you can't decide that one part is more important than the other. The foot can't decide that it's more important than the ear or the arm, more important than the leg, and that type of thing. We all form together. I know that in society and life, if you will, there's always a pecking order as to what's more important, what's least important, what's more significant and less significant. And if we get into that, then we usually end up getting more into comparisons than anything else. We see something as not as important, therefore it's not, respected as much. It's probably demeaned a little bit. We can't do that. We can't get into that. Paul clearly says that all of us. So everybody wants to be the head of something because that means we're in control. We're the power broker. We're on top of the food chain, if you will. And that's not where we want to be because that's not the spirit of Christ. It's not the attitude that he had in it. In our core values tonight, I just want to share two of them that reflect to what we're going to be talking about tonight. The first one, you'll see it right over here. We value authentic and loving relationships. Underneath that, we said, we will build our church. Now, obviously, we understand this is God's church. This is Christ builds the church. But when we're talking about when we as human beings, participants in constructing and structuring this church, our participation as human beings into that, as spiritual beings, followers of Christ, that we will build our church and embrace our community by how we love others. The other one is the third one. It says we value becoming a welcoming church. Going back to the idea, it says we will create an atmosphere that is inviting and welcoming to all. Church is a great word. It's a scary word. A lot of people don't want to have anything to do with church. Some of them, because of reflections that they've had that really don't reflect their own personal experience. They've heard other people talk about it, or they've seen certain things, and they just decided that beforehand, before they experienced something, that this is kind of how I feel about those things. It's very unfortunate, but I understand that. Because all my life, my mom and my dad told me, you ought to try this. You'll like it. I go, just looking at it, I don't like it. You know, whether it was fried all the way, like my mom did everything, or not, you know. And especially if it was green and it looked slimy like collard greens, forget it. There were some things I didn't want to touch. Anybody really excited about, you know, going to a restaurant and say, I really want some oysters. But you know what? If I said what I said was just true, there's that oyster ingredient in every church. So we got to be careful that we don't discard it, but look at it carefully. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 12 says this. As for the body, since it is one and has many members, but all the members that are of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. It's a little wordy in the way that Paul meant it, but in the whole context of what he's sharing here, he's trying to get across loud and clear. He said, listen, this body, this group of people, this fellowship, if you will, is made up of several different members, and they all have a specific place, and they all have a specific function. And when you put them together, we get what? We form one body. But that body is also, as just it is, like in Christ. So he brings it back to that relationship with Christ. Have you ever been to, like, you know, I remember I just saw it not too long ago. We went to Pumpkin Town with Mabry Ellen, and they had the little cardboard cutouts. We call them cardboard cutouts. You know, they have somebody like a farmer or whatever, or, you know, you've seen those in the circus, the bodybuilder or the clown, and you stick your head through the little hole there, and there you are. The body doesn't fit the head, does it? Especially when you look and your head is in there, regardless of how similar, it just doesn't fit. But with the church, when Jesus' head is on the body, then everything should look correct. Because he is the head that we're looking for. It is what makes the church look perfect. And that's the goal that we have here. So in the church, just like in any church, Christ needs to be head. There's no debate about that. We understand that. So I'm kind of beating a dead horse on that. But I do want to talk about the human body in this analogy just for a few seconds. Let me share this with you just because I want to. Okay? If you're an adult of average weight, well, let me scratch that out. If you're an adult, here's what you accomplish in 24 hours. Check this out. Your heart beats 103,689 times. Your blood travels 168,000 miles. You breathe 23,040 times. You inhale 438 cubic feet of air. You eat 3.25 pounds of food, and some of you a little bit more. You drink almost 3 quarts of liquid. You lose 7 to 8 pounds of waste. You eat 3.5, that doesn't work. The math is wrong there. You speak 4,800 words. If you're a woman, you speak 48,000 words. You move 750 muscles. You exercise 7 million brain cells. 7 million brain cells. And you know what? You really don't care. You know why? Because all of that stuff takes place without you even making a single decision. This is just the way it is. Isn't that cool how the body operates kind of automatically? It's on autopilot, if you will. Now, if you've spent 70 years, in an average 70-year span of time, this is what you do. You sleep 23 years. You work 16 years. You watch TV and entertain yourself for 8 years. You eat for 6 years. Some of you eat 6 more. You travel 6 years. You have leisure time of 5 years. Illness of 4 years. Dressing of 2 years. I want to go back to sleep. 23 years? That just doesn't seem like enough. It doesn't feel like enough. Some of us have been cheated out of all of that. Doesn't that the way you feel? This is the human body and the way that God has designed just the human body. And if you could just take the body of Christ and break it down to those things, it would amaze you the things that we do just minute by minute, second by second, Sunday by Sunday, Sunday night by Sunday, Wednesday by Wednesday, Bible studies, opportunities of private devotional, before church groups, small groups. All of these things work together to make the body of Christ work. And it's a fabulous, wonderful, not production, but creation of God. And we should take great pride that we are in the body of Christ. So tonight, I want to talk about a couple things. Also in this human body, you have voluntary and involuntary muscles. Now, my bicep is a voluntary muscle. That means that it doesn't move until it's told to move. Okay? I don't look at my bicep and say, move, you know, but when I just subconsciously reach for something and I draw it to my body, my brain has already sent this signal to my bicep, and it says, flex. So that's what it does. It's involuntary. It's not going to be moving until it is told to. But we have involuntary muscles in our body as well. The heart is an involuntary muscle. You know, it beats automatically. It doesn't have to be told. It is programmed just to do that. It's called involuntary. It doesn't have to have a command. I don't tell my body, please circulate my blood. I don't send a signal for my brain to go and do that. So a little electricity is involved in that, but it's not a command. It's just an involuntary muscle. So we have these aspects in the body of Christ as well, and I'll get to those here in just a second. The church is historically known for creating a lot of things, and one of the best things it creates is relationships. Now, I want to be real careful. I'm not talking about fellowship tonight. We can have events like tonight, and somebody who has never been to our church can be here, be invited, come over there and have fellowship tonight, but that doesn't mean they have a relationship. And it might not happen on the first time. It might not happen, you know, to where you have a relationship. There might be those times where you get to know each other a little bit. If you're one of those people that on the first date you go, I knew I was going to marry her, you're an anomaly. I mean, that is just bizarre, you know, and it just works out that way, and that's cool. And I'm sorry, but you've had to live with that for years. Hopefully it worked out right. But most of our life is a relationship, even with Christ, a relationship with your Bible, a relationship in prayer, a relationship in the things that we do as the body of Christ. And Jesus taught these things while he was walking and talking and ministering and spending time with people, because that's what relationship is. I think some of the most disappointing things we have in Christianity, and sometimes therefore in church, is that we think that the minute we make a decision to follow Christ, that everything's just going to fall into place, and it's going to be perfect. We're going to meet these awesome people. I remember I left Troy State University, a secular college, went to Evangel College when they started their football program up there, and I just thought, this is awesome. I'm going to be on a Christian campus. All these people living for Jesus. I got to tell you, there were a lot of people who weren't living for Jesus, you know. Dana Williams was on that campus. And she was living for Jesus. Yes, very early. You know, hey, and be quiet, I'm preaching. And Jackie Deal was up there, and she was living for Jesus. And Debbie was up there, and she needed Jesus. See, as you notice, my wife has had to take my granddaughter back to her parents, so tonight she's not here quite yet, so I thought I'd sneak her in there. Relationships. relationships. You can't overemphasize them enough, but you can downplay them enough. You can decide in this life that I don't need anybody else, just me and Jesus. That you might go to heaven, but you're going to have a very, very sad experience here on earth. You might even decide it's just me and my family. Even in the context of a church, just me and my church family. But I promise you're going to have a very sad existence when it all wraps up. God never intended it to be that way. I just want to share you some things tonight that I believe that God wants us to do as we build our relationships and therefore build the body of Christ and therefore build the church. Number one is this. It has to be intentional. It has to be voluntary. It has to be something I decide to do. It has to be a function that I have committed to, and therefore it happens. It has to be this voluntary muscle thing. It's far beyond just being friendly, especially on Sundays. We hopefully do a good job of that, and hopefully it's genuine, but it's just for the moment. But it goes far beyond that. It's where we start putting in true concern and compassion and caring. People know when you care versus you're just being friendly. People know when you're just being polite. And this isn't anybody rebuking the church. It's encouraging us to remind ourselves that we can train ourselves to do a whole lot of Christian stuff, and sometimes it's not exactly in contrast to what Christ did, but it's not exactly what he wanted to do. We get these Christian, you know, mentalities and these Christian behaviorals that we've adopted, but it may not be the reflection of Jesus Christ himself. We've got to be careful in that. It takes a purposeful, long-term commitment to relationships to build a church. And see, the whole thing about it is that all of us benefit from that. Not only the person trying to build the relationship, especially the person receiving that, but man, when you start linking arms and you have a relationship with somebody, it's powerful, especially when it happens in the church. The second thing is this, it has to be modeled. It's not something automatic. You remember when you got saved, those of you who either you got away from God or you never knew God until later on in your life, there was a whole lot of things you had to learn. And the coolest thing is that there were probably some people that you got to model. You got to see these people. I love hearing the stories when people talk about when they were just little kids, when they were 5 or 6 years old. And can I just tell you, even though we have, you know, something that we do with them here on Sunday night and they go, you know, the Bible Grow Zone, I love that our kids are in here for worship, that they see their grandma and they see their mom and dad worshiping. There's something about bringing those kids to something that they wouldn't pick it on their own. They would rather stay home and win SpongeBob or, you know, or build Legos or something. They would. But they've come and they've seen this and it was modeled for them. There's something about watching somebody else do that. I remember when I first got saved, I admired this guy named Butch Brezina. He used to be a huge linebacker for the Atlanta Falcons. And I remember seeing him at this particular pew. It was on this side of the church and he was always there. And man, I'm telling you, the guy would pray till he would cry. And I thought, you know, big men don't do that. I'd never seen big men in my life do that before, but I got saved and I saw this and I was attracted to the compassion that he had for Jesus. So these things have to be modeled. See, teaching is instruction, but model is example. It's example. You cool thing about relationships, when I don't know what to do, if I have a good model, I follow that model. You know, the disciples, they did an awful lot of this. They just followed what Jesus did. I bet half the time they believed in him, but they didn't know exactly what to do, but they knew what he was doing, the right thing. I bet a lot of times they just followed in his steps, unknowing what they were really supposed to be doing. But they had a model. And that's what relationships brings to all of us. Listen, no one can have a relationship with everybody. But we can love everybody. But the people that God draws us to, we can build a relationship with them. Listen, this is not click building. This is body building. I'm not reinforcing cliques. Cliques can be good and they can be bad. You know, cliques has always been associated with a negative thing. This is our little group. You don't belong. You know, and we have attitudes and stuff like this. But I'm telling you, it's in the context of small groups that God builds relationships. You know, I'll make an admission from this pulpit. We have not done a great job of promoting small groups here in the church. There are some small groups that exist and I hope that we'll get a lot better at that. I know it's just a part of what God wants to do. But you know what? You can do something too. You can find some people that God has drawn you to, that you have something in common that you like about them. You know, and because there's a fit, there's a comfortable feeling, then let that draw you closer into this relationship that can reinforce the body of Christ in all of you. And that's what God wants us to do. The third thing is this. We should develop relationships with the proper priorities, obviously. We have to have our priorities straight. We get into relationships for a lot of reasons. You know, it's easy to buddy up to somebody because you got something coming down the road you might need him for. You know, how many of you own a truck? I'm going to tell you, people love people with a truck. Because when I got to move something, who am I going to call? Do you just feel, you can feel those phone calls coming, can't you? You know, because I've made a few of them. I really have. I've called you a couple of times and said, you know, and I hate doing that, you know. But when you got a truck, somebody wants something out of you. What about the call about you, that they want you? You see, the priorities ought to be there. Let me tell you what the priorities are. The priorities in building relationships is Christ first. Christ first. Your first priority is not to develop a relationship with somebody else. It's to develop a relationship with him. Develop a relationship with Christ. It's one-on-one with him. If you don't have a relationship with him, then everything you're doing down here is just meaningless. I mean, you might have some good people that you kind of get along with, but it's not going to have the foundation that it needs. The second thing, believe it or not, is your family. You need to start making sure that they are established in the relationship you have with your family. Let me extend that to say this. I love what I found out in church is that I had a physical family. Our name was Mewburn. I knew who my flesh and blood was. But God also gave me a Christian family. He gave me these people in the church. They became like family. I mean, when I wanted to go and do something, I would call them. I wouldn't call one of my brothers. And it's not because I shunned them. We didn't have a spiritual connection. The DNA had been cut off when it comes to the spiritual stuff. We didn't fellowship in that respect. But God gave me a church family. So it's with God first, and then families, and then it's others. Others. Beyond all of that, there's always people, believe it or not, they're out there on just the perimeter of your life, and they're watching from a distance. There's some people in your office, some people that you go to school with, some people that live in your neighborhood, and they're seeing what's going on in your life, and they're desperately wanting to just be invited. If nothing else, they want to get in the position where they can investigate. That they just want to be drawn to what's going on there. And some of them are nosy, but most of them are intrigued. Most of them are fascinated by what they see in your life, how happy you are, and the things that, and even the things that aren't happy, it's not smiles on your face, but wow, the way you handle that pressure, the way the circumstances are going, man, they're surprised that when you get with them and you're at the mailbox that you're not angry at everything and yelling and screaming like they are, but that you just have this peace about you. It's amazing how that works. The fourth thing is this, that we need to build all of these relationships with God, with our family and our church family, including these that are on the perimeter, so that we can reach out into the community. Talked about cliques a minute ago. You've heard me say it before. But a clique should serve one purpose. And clique is a bad word, but I'm talking about small group. Your group of support. Your personal friends that are there for you. That should build a base for you strong enough to where you can extend out and touch others. I've always been fascinated by a crane. I mean, here's this, and it makes sense to me that this thing is just weighs millions of pounds, it seems like. So why can't it just extend its arm and pick up something way out here? You know, it's not just leverage. There's this foundation, whether it's weight or whether it's a distribution of weight, that allows this thing to reach far beyond its base to accomplish a task. That's who we ought to be. That we have established such a base in Jesus and with our friends and with our church that we can reach out there and not worry. Because we're not abandoning the base, but we are reaching beyond our borders and our barriers and hopefully touching somebody else's life. It's wonderful. It's when you get your priorities straight, fascinatingly enough, everything else falls into place. You know, it's pretty important to remember this, but before you start going to counseling, before you start getting on the phone asking somebody else's opinion, maybe you ought to get on your knees and ask God what he thinks. Maybe you ought to start writing down how much you've been in the Bible before you start looking for somebody else's opinion. You see, that's where priorities are established, and that's where things start to line up because your priorities are back where they ought to be. Number four, it's amazing what happens when the personal touch is applied. When it's just somebody reaching out to somebody. Instead of an implication, it's an invitation. Instead of a distance high, it's a personal greeting. That's what happens when the personal touch is applied. I've heard this all my life, but I think it's really true. One out of four people will come to church if they were simply asked. One out of four. I know it doesn't sound like, well, Pastor Dave, that's only a 25% success rate. Why even try? Because of the one. That's why. Because you are made like this. That's because God constructed you to be that person. That's why. Listen, there's many places out there that can put on a better show than us. There's a whole lot of places that put on this thing, but they cannot reproduce community like the church can. They can't deal in people's lives and make a difference in their life like the church can. Every one of you have choices. Listen, you can go to movies. You can go to sporting events. You can get hung up in a casino, whatever. You got a lot of things to occupy your life. But only the church, the body of Christ, the church, can make a difference in your life. And that's what they're looking for as well. The last thing is this. We've talked about all of those things. Those are voluntary muscles. We have to make a decision to be intentional. We have to make a decision that we're going to put our priorities where they are. We have to make a decision that we're going to put a personal touch. Now we talk about the thing that's involuntary. It's called consistency. When we have relational consistency, when we fellowship together, when we break the bread of the Word of God together, when we come and we worship together, automatically relationships develop. Automatically things begin to blossom and bloom and take on in our life. We are forming now a habit of relationship that lapses automatically. We no longer have to structurally do it. We had some kids over at our house today, and it was so funny because two of them could tie their shoes, one couldn't. So I was constantly having to help the one and then the others, and it was so cute. They were going, no, it's the rabbit. And I don't even know how that rabbit thing goes. I just know how to tie shoes. But you know what? When you're first getting into that goal, it was so frustrating for the one that couldn't, and they wanted to do it all by themselves. But they kept failing and throwing a fit. Oh, my goodness, throwing a fit because they couldn't do it. And the other two could. But it was amazing how desperate they were to do that. If we begin to do the things that we're talking about here, and we are, most of us already do, but I'm talking about we get into the depth of what it is about building the body of Christ instead of just doing what's natural. Hey, I like these people. Let's hang out. You know, that's cool and everything, but it needs to be a spiritual directive as well. It needs to have an overlapping goal that creates this spiritual unity that goes beyond that as well. But it's amazing how that we do that automatically. All these things just keep flowing together. It was the one kid who couldn't tie his shoe that desperately wanted to do just like the others. Happened automatically. Nobody had to say, hey, don't you want to tie your shoes? Come on, grow up. Tired of tying your shoes. No. They wanted to catch up with the others. How cool is it? I'm not into competition in the church when it comes to things like that. But it is pretty cool that God sees that and that we want it just as much as everybody else does. That happens in the church as well as outside the church. George Barna said this, a church that fosters true community is indeed something special. A church that fosters true community is indeed something special. We aren't trying to become the most elite church in Claremore. We're not trying to outdo anybody else, but we are striving with all of our heart to be the church that we feel that God, through prayer, through investigation, through fellowship, has called us to be. And with that, I hope that we will also become something special. I don't care about ever making the headlines. I don't care how many times we get into Claremore Progress. I do care desperately how many times we get into the hearts of our friends and our neighbors and develop relationships. And you do too. Everybody in here is lying. They are lying if they say they don't need anybody else. You're lying if you don't say you need friends. You're lying if you say, I don't need relationships. You see, it doesn't add up with who Christ is. So tonight, that's who we want to be. Amen? I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. It's 10 minutes before 7. We're going to be dismissed in just a moment. We're going to go over to the Fellowship Hall. Family Life Center. I keep getting confused verbally. And before we do that, I just want you to take these objectives and think about them just for a second. Think about what are the priorities that we have in our life. What are the things that we're doing intentionally or not? Because sometimes it's one word that separates the success or the failure of one or the other, and it's called comfort. Too often we do what is comfortable and convenient instead of what is urgent and important. And tonight, listen, if you got plans and you need to leave, I understand. Thank you for being at church, but I hope you'll come over and have some fellowship for the sake of relationship. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, I ask that you would bless the opportunity we'll have to share time together in just a few minutes. Matter of fact, I'll go ahead and get ahead of the game and ask you to bless the food, bless the fellowship, and everything else. But Lord, more than anything, I pray that you will guide us, prompt us, encourage us to invest in this single moment and in every moment that we have to develop a relationship. It's an opportunity to develop more of a relationship with you. Every time we open your word, we're at church, we blend and we rub shoulders with another Christian, it's an opportunity to get closer to you. But Father, help us to be reminded that we're a part of the body. And if we're AWOL, then the body goes without something. So tonight, Father, help us to remind ourselves that we are embracing our own importance as well as the importance of the church. Too often, Father, we feel this pressure. We have to be this, we have to be that for the church. Lord, you designed all of this for us. You designed it so that we would be blessed and therefore could bless other people. So I pray for everybody tonight, Lord. You know, there's one thing that we haven't talked about, and that is that sometimes you can be surrounded by people, but yet feel like you're all alone. God forbid that in the context of my words, in the encouragement of 1 Corinthians 12:12, and the mentality of the Holy Spirit and the goals of God, that we would allow anyone to not have the opportunity for relationship, fellowship, and significance within the borders of our church. I pray, God, that you'll bless us and watch us and help us to do that. Look beyond ourselves. For Father, as it is that you minister to us, we are encouraged to minister to others. May tonight be a fabulous time of fellowship, but more importantly, a time of developing relationships. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so listen, we're going to have tables over there. Not everybody can sit at the same table. So you're not bad if you don't sit at everybody's table. You don't have to get up and be a busybody and just go visit everybody. It's okay. But we do want you to just feel encouraged to come over and just have that fellowship if you can. I know I've gone overboard encouraging you to come and everything, but listen, I didn't preach this message tonight to condemn us, but encourage us, because there's a relationship that you don't have. You probably, this is hard to believe, some of you have not even met your new best friend yet, and it might be tonight that relationship begins. Amen? Hey, God bless you. You're all dismissed. Dan, make your way over to our Family Life Center directly behind me. These hallways are a big circle. If you don't know where to go, just follow an ugly sweater.